We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What up, everyone? Happy opening day out here in the valley. But KD's here, and that's all that matters. We're outside shots, my man EJ. Welcome back to the studio. Couple weeks off.
Yeah.
Well, not off.
Well, you invaded my hotel room last week.
Yeah. It is what it is. We're brought to you, as always, by the good folks over at OG's, the best edible in the game, and we'll get to them, as usual, here in the middle of the show. But Kevin Durant is here in the valley. Finally, after escaping any tragedy in the pregame warmups, he was able to finally take the court for the Phoenix Suns. A little bit of a up and down kind of a debut at home, but overall, the Suns got a win. I thought that was a great part, is that the fact that KD wasn't really, he didn't have his A game last night on the offensive side. Devin Booker didn't really even have his A game on the offensive side, despite pouring in close to 30 points, and they still had control of the game.
Yeah, it's the fact you brought up KD and everybody was on edge watching him warm up last night.
Have you ever seen so many people watch a single person warm up hoping that tragedy wasn't going to happen again?
Yeah, because it was weird to them. As I said before, this happened to me. It's happened to a lot of guys where you're warming up and you're like, oh, what was that? And you just tweak something or you do something. It's just the nature of the business. It's unfortunate that it happened to him right there on a night that he was going to, you know, play in front of the home crowd. But it's good to see him back. Yeah. You know, it wasn't obviously like he would love it. But still, the bottom line is they won the game, as you said. And everybody got through healthy. I think that's the key as we come down the stretch here. These last, what, now we got six more games that we go into the playoffs on a really good note.
Yeah. I mean, the Suns have a couple games left with the Nuggets. They have Lakers, Clippers left, and then I think they got the Spurs and one other team I'm forgetting. But so we're coming down the stretch. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but I can't wait for the regular season to be over. I want to get to the playoffs. I feel like this has probably been the most exhausting Suns season I can remember in quite a while. When you're a bad team, you know you're a bad team. Mm-hmm. You know there's not many expectations. You don't get your hopes up high. But this season, it was like they started off hot, and then people got injured, and things started going downhill. And then you got the trade, and then you got KD getting injured and coming back and trying to figure out the rotations. There was just so many variables with this season, which, to be honest, every other team has to deal with it too, to a certain degree. And more teams have had to deal with it in the last 2 years compared to the Suns until this year. So I'm tired, man.
You know what? I think more so you're tired because of the parity of the league now. Like, the parity of the league and the play-in. I think that has people on edge because now it gives two more cities hope at the end, right? It gives two more cities hope at the end to be able to get to the playoffs. And so Yeah, it puts you on edge. You think about it. I mean, from the fourth seed all the way down to the 13th seed, 12th seed, if you lose a couple of games, you can fall down.
Yeah.
And some instances fall out of the playoffs. And so I think that's the tough part right now for a lot of people. That's why you would want it over, because you just want to wake up and say, okay, the Suns got the fourth seed and we're going to play such and such and let's get this going.
Yeah.
That's not going to be the case. It's going to be a lot of drama as this season comes to an end. We don't know what can happen in that regard. You look at the bottom right now. You look at, say, the Lakers. They're playing well. Mm-hmm. Right now they're in the eighth seed. They're going to be fighting for a sixth seed, looks like, coming up here if they keep winning. Dallas looks like they're out. I don't really mean that. I was hoping Dallas was still in.
Man, I meant that. Hell yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how things turn, right? So, yeah, the Clippers, they don't even play Kawhi last night. And Russell Westbrook, which I love. I love the fact Russell Westbrook did what he did. I hated that they won. But Westbrook drops, what, 38 last mm-hmm. night? 5 of 5 mm-hmm. from three. So, you just don't know, man. And the only thing you can do is control what you can control. Yep. So, the Suns have to go out there every night. And they have to take the top five defense in the league right now, where they are, and I think top six in field goal percentage against them. When they can go out and do that every night, as they did last night, they'll win regardless if their offense is bad.
Mm-hmm.
KD had a bad shooting game. So, trust me, Suns fans, it's not going to be many of those. It's not going to be many of those. He was out of rhythm. I thought he was very overly excited yesterday. His shots were strong.
Yeah.
And he was missing long on his shots, and I've been there, done that.
Felt like his legs were a little shaky yesterday, too. Just getting back into that game shape and getting your legs underneath you.
Yeah, when you have a lower leg injury, you don't get a chance to really run as much as you want, right? Mm-hmm. But he's always in great shape. I just think it was more so just excitement. It's not nerves. This guy is not nervous about anything.
Yeah.
But it's just excitement, wanting to please. And sometimes when you want that, when you want to do that so bad, because he knows. I mean, he's like you said, you got 1,000 people watching him warm up. I'm sure since he's been here, there's nowhere he can go in this city without people walking up to him.
Mm-hmm.
He knows the excitement of him coming to this team.
Yeah.
And so I don't care how old you are. I don't care what walk of life you come from. If you don't have butterflies on the thought of all of that expectation, then something's wrong. And he had some butterflies yesterday. And you know, he didn't have a good shooting game, but he hit some big shots in that fourth quarter.
Yeah, that's
all that matters.
Yeah, you know, I thought, you know, obviously in the second half he was much better than the first. That's why he changed his shoes. I just thought his overall performance, I thought defensively he was solid. Mm-hmm. I really did. And I think the more and more I watch KD, I think that's one of the things that a lot of us don't really appreciate, because you know, we don't really have the opportunity to watch KD every single night, especially when he wasn't playing for the Suns. That defensively, he can hold his own. He can more than hold his own. And you were talking about that aspect before he really got into the flow here. When you watch his performance outside of the first quarter for the Suns last mm-hmm. night, I thought their second, third, and fourth quarters were some of their best defense of the season. And I thought collectively as a group, their rotations, their effort level more than anything else. And really, even something as simple as just closing out on a shooter and getting your hand up.
Yep.
Even if he hits it, at least you made that effort and got him to think a little bit like, okay, they might close out hard. Because that next time, maybe he hesitates a little bit and wants to try and go by you, and now you're in better position to guard him. So defensively, what'd you think about their overall
performance? No, I love the defense. I talked about that all night long. Yeah. Defense was great.
Yeah.
And after the first quarter, as you know, like, they allowed Karl-Anthony Towns get it going with the three, started knocking them down. Naz Reid came in, knocked down a couple of open ones, and they were open. Like, I have no problem with somebody knocking the three down, but I don't want them to have an uncontested three. Like, I don't care if you're 20 feet away, just run at them. Because I was the shooter. I know, yeah, you 20 feet away and you run at me. I'm not worried about it, but I'm thinking about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the difference. And so they started to do that in the second half. They took it away from Carl Anthony Towns. He didn't really have the explosive second half as he did in the first half. And I thought that was the difference. And they rebounded the ball. And they rebounded the ball by committee. Everybody was in there rebounding the ball. And, you know, what more can you say about the job Torrey Craig and Josh Okogie did last night defensively, all over the place. And Chris Paul, I think, started it out. Chris Paul doesn't get his due. He's one of the best defenders in the league still. He'll go down as one of the best defensive point guards ever in the history of this game. And the way he's been playing defensively this year, forget about the fact, you know, he's had some up and down and scoring and all of that. His defense has been consistent, man. And so he starts it out, and then, as you said, throw KD in there, who's a very good defender. Devin Booker's very underrated. Mm-hmm. And what about DeAndre last night? DeAndre blocking shots last night.
Yeah, with aggression.
Very aggressive, very aggressive. So if the Suns are defending and keeping teams around 110 below, they're going to win.
Yeah.
Like, that should be the mark right there. Just keep a team below 110 points, you're going to probably win every night.
There was two things that you said. One, Torrey Craig. I think last night solidified it, for me at least, that Torrey Craig should 1,000,000% be coming off that bench, because I think Torrey Craig in a more limited role gives you way more juice and more energy than he had shown when he was in that starting lineup. I thought he kind of struggled to find his way in that starting lineup. I felt like fatigue was a little bit of a factor in that starting lineup of running 30, 33 minutes a game. I think when you limit him to 20, you get the very best of Torrey Craig. Mm-hmm. And then Chris Paul. Chris Paul reminds me of when you're watching like Hard Knocks or something, you see like J.J. Watt talking about like defensive hands and like, you know, making your moves. Chris Paul's hands are some of the most incredible hands in the history of this league. I think you said it last night where he looks like he's playing physical, but he's not.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty and the expertise of Chris Paul.
It really is. Like, you can't take advantage of him. Like, just because of his size, I think sometimes guys think they can take him down in the post. No, because he's not going to let you dribble.
No.
So wherever you catch it, feel good about where you are, just turn and shoot. Mm-hmm. And when you turn and shoot, he's going to be bothering you as you're coming around with the shot. He is a gnat, man. And I think he gives a lot of guys problems once they think, and coaches have gone away from it. Before, coaches would try to attack him and say, try to get him in pick and roll switches and all that and think you can throw it down and take advantage of him. But you're not scoring on this dude comfortably. You're just not. And so where you catch it is where you're going to end up, because if you put it down, he's going to take it away. He's going to strip it from you. And yeah, it starts with him. Unfortunately, he can't pick up 94 feet anymore, so he has to pick up at half court, and that's fine. I mean, you know, he's an older guy in this league right now. As I called him the other day, he was getting off the plane. I said, "How you doing, old man?" You know, and he laughed, because you get old in this game. You know, not old in life, but you get old physically for basketball. Yeah. And so he understands what his parameters are, but his defense and then his big shot making last night, that's the thing that people can't forget. Chris Paul, for a few years, right, up until I think this past year, he was one of the best players in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Clutch. Just imagine now, the double teams that obviously KD's going to get, Devin's going to get, and Chris is navigating that two-man game with DeAndre. Mm-hmm. That means now he's not getting guys running at him anymore. Mm-hmm. So when he gets to his sweet spot, 12, 13 feet, he's got a clear look at the rim. That's devastating, man. So if you're an opposing coach, what do you do? Yeah. Like, Minnesota was fortunate last night that KD was off.
Yeah.
Because they never really had to aggressively double team him.
Yeah.
But those off nights not going to be often.
No.
So now what do you do? So I feel real good about what I saw last night defensively. And if we defend like we did last night, we have a chance to beat anybody every night.
Agreed. My favorite thing about Chris Paul, and you know, being 6'2 myself, playing ball in high school and in college, I didn't really have the physical strength to be able to hold off bigger guys down low in the post. When you watch Chris Paul down low in the post, it's very rare that anybody takes advantage of him down low in the post. He's got that old man strength where he's got that arm bar in your lower back, and he refuses to let you move. Yeah. So you have to, like you said, when you catch the ball, you better be happy with that positioning because it's probably not going to get any better. That's the beauty of Chris Paul. Also, DeAndre Ayton. Three games, DeAndre Ayton, well, now four, DeAndre Ayton has played with Kevin Durant. And in three of those four games, offensively, he was kind of suspect where he didn't really produce a lot of points and he didn't really do too much. I think that's the one thing that you can always point to with this offense that is something that the Suns have yet to expose and really take a full advantage of to a certain degree because they're still trying to figure things out. I think that's going to be the missing piece when they make this run, hopefully, in the playoffs and really figure out everything in totality and everybody's feeling comfortable because I think DA is going to find a way to eat constantly in the playoffs.
He will, but, you know, it's game planning, too. I remember back when I played with Tom Chambers and Kevin Johnson. Well, Cotton Fitzsimmons would approach every game with, okay, who has the best favorable matchup? Okay, so if it's one game I have where they know the guy that's guarding me is not a good defender, boom, I get in the game, they're running every play to me. Mm-hmm. And if I'm cooking, I'm going to get everything, okay? Tom Chambers, Kevin Johnson, that's just how it is. Mm-hmm. This is how it's going to be on this team. You know, if Devin has a favorable matchup early, you want to target that early. KD has it, you want to target that early. If Chris has it, you want to target that with two-man games. And if DeAndre has a smaller guy guarding him, that's when you want to go to him. What DeAndre has to understand, because I know Chris, KD, and Devin do now, is that he's got to understand that when it's not your night that you're going to get all the touches, that's when you got to go get 15 rebounds.
Yeah.
Put all your energy to the rebounding, all your energy to the defending. And then the next game on the board, you're going to see, okay, I got a favorable matchup. That's the way they're going to have to play. That's the way the great teams have played historically that have a multitude of talent. Mm-hmm. And you got to just know that it's not about now your numbers. Like, the thought about your numbers right now is over.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not qualified to make an All-NBA team by now, you're not.
Yeah.
Okay? All-Star game's over. So now your individual stats mean nothing. Yeah. During the course of the season, did it mean something? Yes. Yes, it did. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it meant All-Star games. It meant All-League. It meant better position for a contract. If it's your contract year. Yeah, it did. Self-satisfaction. Yes. But now means nothing. Like, from here on out means nothing. Just win.
So we have a comment, a super chat. Thanks, Brian Abdallah. In the super chat, he says, EJ, can you explain to the casuals the DAPNR gravity? I feel like people just go to the box score and it's dumb.
Yeah, well, that's all they know. Like, why you think I call them water boys and couch potatoes? Because and they think it's an insult,
not
but it's
you,
really
Brian.
Not. No, but they think it's an insult when I say that. It used to be stoops, okay? I've gotten away from that a little bit. If you got your head down looking at the stat sheet all the time, and you're not watching the game, it's not working, man. Like, basketball is an eye test, man. Like, I don't even need to know what DeAndre is doing by reading it if I'm watching. I can tell you how many points he has. I can pretty much tell you how many rebounds he has. Mm-hmm. I can tell you how many blocks he has if I'm watching the game. So just watch the game, you know, and you'll see that his positioning was very good last night. His effort was good, even though he didn't get a ton of rebounds. It's hard to get a lot of rebounds now. You got Josh Okogie in there, Torrey Craig in there, Devin in there rebounding, Chris Paul in there rebounding, KD in there rebounding. Rebounds not going to be that plentiful. You just got to go get them. So, yeah, I you know, people going to get on DA because they know he's the ticket for us. And, he is. I mean, if that guy's dominant, man, it's just we're not easily beat at all.
So when we're talking about the gravity of the situation, right, when we're talking about the pick and roll gravity, right, Chris Paul, KD, Devin Booker, doesn't matter. If they execute a pick and roll with DeAndre Ayton, I guess what Brian's trying to figure, he wants a little clarity on, when DA rolls to that basket, how people are collapsing on him and leaving everybody else exposed. Now, when you have Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, Let's just say Chris Paul's the one that's executing that PNR, because most times he is. How does that change? How does that dynamic change?
Well, look, DeAndre, the key to the pick and roll is to open up all kind of stuff. So it's not a necessary evil that he's going to get the ball. But normally the guy that screens in any place on the court,
yes,
whether it's a back screen, down screen, the guy that screens a lot of the times, 50% of the time, is the guy that might be open. Okay? So that's why you run the pick and roll. The defenses know this. So if you execute it right, and DeAndre's gotten so much better at pick and roll. So when he picks and he all of a sudden rolls to the hoop, they got to adjust. Okay? And I would say 85% of the time, that's going to get taken away because they don't want you to get a lob and a dunk. That's the highest percentage shot. But when they do that, KD's in the corner. Josh Okogie's wide open. Chris Paul now, because you did collapse, cuts right in, boom, he's got a 12-footer. All those things open up. And he has done a tremendous job this year overall. He's gotten better at his fouls. But he's not always going to get the catch. But when he does get the catch, he's got to go strong.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. I mean, he had some dunks last night that was very hard dunks. He turned them over and he dunked them. Matter of fact, a play similar last night, you remember when Giannis blocked his lob late in that, I think it's game four. He blocked his shot. And he was leaning back on that one. Last night he was leaning back, but this time he was over. He was able to turn it over and dunk it. So you can tell he's learning. But yeah, he's got to be more ferocious. And then Busy, when he comes in for him, Busy is really improving as well. It's getting to that rim and finishing better.
Yeah,
and he has to continue to finish better.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic insight. We also had an interesting comment way early at the beginning of the show. Somebody from the UK, yeah, Go HD3. Love this show and appreciate the UK-friendly start time. You're welcome, and thank you for joining us all the way from the UK. Much, much appreciated. So we got fans worldwide, Eddie.
That's nice.
There you go.
I like that. I'm worldwide.
There you go.
I'm bringing you up in the world.
I mean, I used to have a podcast that was very popular in India. I just want to let you know.
Used to?
So there you
what
go.
What happened?
Yeah, facts.
What happened?
Total BS.
What happened?
So, we started this.
Oh, so it was popular and then you left and you came here.
Yeah, that's, man. That's what happens. Sometimes you got to move on
in
from
India,
other situations.
Huh?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So all right, let's talk about the West in general, okay? Key matchup with the Nuggets on Friday. And obviously, this is something we've wanted to see for a while. Want to see how we match up with the best in the West. A lot of slander gets thrown towards the Nuggets for a variety of different reasons. I just don't think, and it's mostly because people haven't seen it, I just don't think people are believers in the Nuggets. But I do think the Nuggets and the Suns are the two best teams in the West. What say you?
No, I like the Nuggets. You know, I think a lot of people are hesitant on them just based on the fact Jamal Murray obviously is still having some knee issues. They're going into the playoffs. That's not good. Mm-hmm. Michael Porter Jr. hasn't been a consistent guy on the court. When he's on the court, one of the best shooters in the game.
Yeah.
And so those two guys have to play to a really sincere high level to give Denver a chance every night. Aaron Gordon, to me, at the All-Star break, was having an All-Star type year. Now, he's played excellent with Jokic. Jokic is basically giving him easy opportunities at the rim on the pick and roll and getting above the clouds more than anybody can. They're a very good team, man. They got a good bench. Mike Malone's a very good coach. The thing with them right now is they got to prove it, right? Every team gets to a point where they have to prove that they can get over the hump. And, you know, defensively right now, I think that's where you can get them. I think their defense has been a disappointment this year based on their health. These guys have been around more, so you would think their defense was more consistent. But it starts with Jokic, and let's face it, Jokic is not somebody that's going to intimidate you at the rim. And so he's the last line of defense, so people are getting past the others and they're getting to Jokic. And I think I read an article last week where players are shooting like almost 70% against Jokic at the rim. Mm-hmm. That's a high number. So, yeah, those are areas you can attack them. But I love their team. And playing up in Denver, man, and that altitude is no joke. So they got home court advantage all the way through. So it's not going to be easy.
Yeah. I know Devin likes playing in Denver, though. He's had some really, really good games in Denver, mm-hmm. Including last season when he buried the Nuggets basically by himself. So this year's been a little bit of a different story because both the times that they match up with the Nuggets in Denver, they were riddled with injury. So it is what it is. Obviously, mm-hmm. the Christmas Day game, Devin didn't even last 2 minutes before he got pulled out of the game because of his groin. So a lot of different things. But the Nuggets, to me, I agree with you. It's the inconsistency factor of their playoff performances. Mm-hmm. And they have been riddled with injury. And I get that. Jamal Murray, if you just look at Nuggets Twitter, one day he's the greatest guard in the game. The next day, what are we going to do about Jamal? You know, it's just all over the place. But I would say that offensively, they're as good as anybody in the league. Mm-hmm. They could hold their own no matter what offensively. Defensively is going to be an issue, and they have struggled a little bit with their bench. And I think that if there was any concern about the Phoenix Suns, it would be what kind of production are you going to get from the bench? Right. Some games, like we saw the other day, 57 points from the bench unit. It was fantastic. It looks good. Everything's flowing. We call them TNT, mm-hmm. TJ and Terrence. They came through in a big way. But then you get games like last night where Campaign's basically the only one giving you points off the bench. Everybody else kind of went 0-for. TJ got a bucket or two. Not enough. If you get to the playoffs, I know you have KD. I know you have Devin Booker. I know you have Chris Paul. But you still need some production from the bench to kind of maintain things as it goes along. So it's going to be very interesting to see how these two teams, because I feel like they're kind of mirror images of each other, minus the fact that you swap out Jokic for KD. So different positions, but still equally effective players that can dominate a game.
Well, and we're talking about like touches, right? And see, to me, that's a favorable matchup for DeAndre. See, so, and DeAndre's had some success against Jokic mm-hmm. offensively. So that's a favorable matchup because I think DeAndre, one, can run him. Two, if he catches the ball in his sweet spots, Jokic's not going to block it. Jokic has to come out and guard, which now opens up their backside even more. So it's a lot of things DeAndre can do now, put Jokic in pick and roll. Now he has to switch out, and, you know, he's not guarding anybody on the perimeter. So that's their weakness in regards defensively, and they really don't have – they got Thomas Bryant, which he hasn't, you know, played like he played with the Lakers since he's been there. And Reggie Jackson, you know, he hasn't played, I think, to the level that they expected as well. So their bench is kind of weak. Not worried about our bench. I think out of all those guys you can bring off our bench, two of those guys are going to score. And if the other two aren't, they're not going to get a ton of minutes. That's just the way it is. Brought Damian Lee off the bench for a hot second the other night in Utah. Bam, drained a three. Mm-hmm. We couldn't make any. So we got guys over there that can score. And they're going to have their nights, and they're not going to have their nights. That happens when you got four guys on the court, man, that take 95% of the shots.
Yeah.
So I'm not worried about it at all.
Question from T. Gino says, Eddie, why did the Suns have KD in the corner watching Booker?
Well, have you noticed when Booker was in the corner watching KD?
It's true.
I mean, the Suns don't run a motion offense, okay? At times they do, but most of the time they don't. And KD and Devin will be on opposite sides all the time. So can you imagine? Normally when you play a team, you have, quote, unquote, the best player over here, the one that you're really changing your offense, defense for, and you gear to stop him. And you don't worry too much about the weak side. So now when the ball is swung from Devin over to there and it goes to KD, they can run the same play with the same strength and the concentration level defensively that that team is going to have. That's devastating for a lot of teams. And so throw it back to the middle. Now you got Chris Paul that can do damage. So, no. He's not standing. He's resting.
One of my favorite sets is when the Suns swing somebody along the baseline off of a pick and roll. The corner man ends up gravitating up to the wing. Mm-hmm. And usually, let's just say you pick and roll with DA with Chris Paul. You have Devin Booker, who might have been in the corner. Now he swings up to the wing. Usually it's like a Kogi or Torrey Craig or somebody like that that's in that corner that swings around from the other side.
Right.
And what does that leave on the other side one-on-one? Kevin Durant.
Yes.
Like, and so there's so many options when you're talking about this team and how they can take advantage. And so while you might see it a few times with KD in the corner, it's by design. It's because they're trying to execute certain things to expose the defense to make them think about how to take advantage of this or take advantage of this. So I think it's great. Like, the Suns' offensive system is one of the more complex in the league. It's got, I literally have a whole playbook. I think there's 83 different plays, and each one of those sets comes with 5 to 10 different variations of that set. That's a lot. That's a lot. And so, and
I'm these glad guys, you brought that up because a lot of people don't know that.
Yeah.
They don't, like, when they watch, and that's what goes back to watching the game.
Yeah.
Like, our playbooks are ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. They're not as bad as they when I play. Trust me. I mean, it was this thick, man. And you'd have a play that you ran for 2 months and it would be called like 1A. And then a coach would come in and change the play and he'll still call it 1A. So now your mind is like, you got to run the new one and try to get the old one out. That's why you mature in college to be able to get to this level and be able to persevere. It's not talent why rookies don't play. It's their inability initially to pick up play calls, understanding the different defenses, and all of that that's going to keep you on the floor. Yeah. I played in Seattle. They literally held up cards over there, okay? His name was Bob Kloppenberg, okay? He wrote a book, Great Defensive Mind. He'd hold up a sign, and it would have a word. And that word was the defense we were in. And he'd have like 50 cards over there. Like, we had to learn all that stuff.
Man.
You got to go back to school, man. It's like, it's not something you just go show up and play a game. Mm-hmm. And so it's very complicated. And that's why some guys don't get a chance to play as much.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why Wiseman didn't really get the shot in Golden State that he wanted, because maybe he was slow picking up all the terminology.
Too complex.
And it was too complex for him.
Yeah.
And so that's what happened. So you got to... You know, so when you hear stuff out there when they be talking about athletes, shut up and dribble, please. I'd like some of them politicians to get they behind in a locker room and try to remember some plays we got to remember.
I mean, we kind of seen that. We've seen that from time to time across the league. Like, even, you know, we're about to talk about the Kings here in a second, but like De'Aaron Fox, you know, they bring in a new coach, kind of. Maybe he just reinterprets what they do and how they do it and makes it a little bit simpler and a little bit easier for him to be able to understand and conceptualize what it is that he should be doing out there.
Yeah.
And once you have that and you're not overthinking the game.
Not robotic.
That's when the beauty of the game really comes out of a player. You know what I'm saying? And so this is also the reason why Saul Bookman was one of the most hated teammates of all time. I promise you that, because there was nothing more that would irritate me than a player that did not know what set or what play we were running or what his role was supposed to be in that. You know what I'm saying?
And that's what a team is all about. Like, I had players that I played with, I automatically, because they zone out in whatever way, you know, they zone out all kind of ways. And I'm watching in the huddle because I rarely set in the huddle. I just felt like if I sit down, I'm letting that guy down there think that I'm tired.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like, coaches would have to make me sit down. And so, you know, but I'm always watching my teammates because I'm watching the guy because a lot of times the play could be for me. So I want to make sure this fool don't go out there and mess up the damn play. Because it's for me.
Yeah. No, I feel
so
you.
So I'm like, as soon as we get out of the huddle, I'm like, okay, you got this, right? You got to screen down, man. Okay, you got to stay still. No, so they always would come to me. Eddie, what was the play? What did he say? Always to me because they knew.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't the point guard, but I knew where everybody was supposed to be. And then on most teams, I would always play about three positions anyway. So I was like, you got to stay on top of it.
Yeah.
And so you'll see that, man. I play with guys, man. I'm telling you, they never remember to play.
Man.
Never. And I'm not talking about scrubs either. I'm talking about all-time greats. Didn't remember to play. I'm not going to call them out.
Oh, man.
I'll keep it to myself.
So I get triggered when I think about this so many times. We're going to go on a little tangent right here. So I remember I was playing at South Mountain Community College. We're playing Arizona Western, who had a front line that was like 6'10", 6'11", 7 foot. Like they had, and they were the number two JUCO in the country at the time, right? We're playing at their house all the way out there in Yuma. I had 31 points in the second half. I was on fire. I was in.
You got video of that?
I do have video.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. You know what? Next week, bring the video.
He conveniently didn't send it to
and
me.
We want
I have two times in my life where I feel
I want to superimpose your video next to mine. And I want to see who had the best game, okay? That's what we're going to do.
It's not going to be me. Anyway, so it's a tie game. we draw a play that we've run a million times, and there's like 27 seconds left to go. And I was supposed to do was come off the wing, around the baseline off one pick, and come off a double screen, top of the key. I've hit like 8 threes in a row. I'm like hot. I come off wide open as day. And our point guard throws it down to the post, and he travels, and that was it. That was basically it, because they came down, they scored. And
what'd you say to the point guard?
They got the ball. They were coming down. They scored. We came down. The point guard jacked up another shot. And then they got the rebound again, and our coach was yelling, foul, foul, foul. And I didn't want to foul because I had 4 fouls. And so then I ended up fouling. I get my 5th foul, and he's cussing me out. He's like, why the didn't you foul? And I just told him, I was like, because I have 4 fouls, and I'm the only motherfucker out here scoring.
You were violent.
No, we only won like 8 games that whole season, and we're about to beat the number 2 JUCO on the team, and these fucks are throwing the ball around like they ain't got no damn sense. Man, I was.
You know what?
This is why I was not the most loved teammate.
Can we talk for a minute?
We're
at a point now in our show. Okay, I'm very good at this.
Yeah. Okay.
I think. Because you just brought that up, that is something really deep down still bothering
you. Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's
do you ever let stuff like that go, though, EJ?
It's bringing out some past things. Is there any other thing you want to talk to me about?
You talked about some great players that didn't remember plays because you remember them. And you got irritated.
I know,
Saul,
but
too, right?
I didn't react like you just did.
No, because I have the ability to.
Do you need some OGs? I mean,
OGs, let's go. That's a good transition right there, man, EJ. OGs, the best edible in the game. OGsbrands.com. Go visit them. Get yourself a little Happy Balance gummy. I probably need a little Happy Balance in my life, according to EJ, because of my PTSD from playing at South Mountain Community College. I love you guys, Cougars. Listen, they got the strawberries and cream, 1-to-1 CBD to THC ratio. Aches and pains can kind of go away a little bit. It'll kind of bring you back down. Everything's all good. So check them out, OGsbrands.com. Remember, you must be 21 and over to enjoy. Outside of that, light the beam. I got my friends Deuce and Mo. Check out this photo right here. They're in front of I don't know what the center is called. I forgot what their arena is called. Anyway, they're lighting the beam last night because you know what? Hey, we're not going to promote too many other teams on this pod, but because EJ used to play for the Kings and because the Kings have not gone to the playoffs for 17 years, they finally broke the streak, the longest active professional streak in sports of a team not making the playoffs. Congratulations, Sacramento Kings. You deserve some love. And I know we're PHNX. We have all the pods. We have all the Arizona love. But Deuce and Mo, if you ever never check them out, you should give them some love because that Kings channel is phenomenal. And I've watched it multiple times. Fantastic.
Really?
How do you feel about the Kings making the playoffs?
I'm ecstatic.
Yeah.
That's the organization that I played. If you want to break down my career, I played the most with a Kings uniform on. Started my career in Kansas City. I was a part of the team that moved to Sacramento. It was amazing. We showed up to Sacramento. Even before we actually officially moved there, we went there to practice for 2 days. About 5,000 people showed up at the airport.
Damn.
It was people outside our hotel. You'd have thought, man, that you know we had just won a championship. They were out there. And from that day forward, we got to Sacramento. They continued to treat us that way. That is a tremendous fan base. They love their team. Mm-hmm. They have gone through it. And now they're back. And I'm so excited for them. I really am. You look in their record book, I still have some, you know, I'm still in standing in few of their categories. So I feel good about what they've done. I think a lot of people are looking down on them because they don't have the experience. Mm-hmm. You know, but they're going to find some way to celebrate. That's just the way the Sacramento is. So with the beam now, I think back when it was the Lakers, they had the cowbells and they doing all that stuff. They're going to find a way. And it's tough to play in that building. I don't care what people say. I know I heard Draymond say, well, you know, we'd rather play Sacramento, and not because we disrespect their team, but we do don't want to travel, you know, too far. So we're only going to take an hour bus ride. Man, stop.
Yeah.
Draymond, stop.
He just wants to go to the Garlic
you
Festival.
You want
to
play the Kings, okay? That's what you want to do. Everybody would probably rather play the Kings. Just put it where it is. But always say, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
Because that team is good, and they don't care. They're going to go into a series now where people think they're the underdog, even though they have the third best record in the Western Conference. And they're going to be hard to beat. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't want to play anybody. I think it's so much parity right now. I think you just roll the dice and you just play whoever you got to play.
That's kind of how I'm feeling. I don't really – it doesn't matter. Like, yeah, the Kings on paper, you would think, okay, well, they haven't proven it. They haven't been there. None of them have been there, not with this franchise. And so, you know, you probably think, okay, we'll take the gamble with an inexperienced team. But then again, you look at the Suns a couple years ago who hadn't been in the playoffs for a decade, and they get all the way to the NBA Finals. So mm-hmm. Be careful what you wish for. So for the Kings, I agree with you, Eddie. It's one of the things that I've always heard, and I haven't been able to experience it myself, but I've always heard that the fan base in Sacramento is second to none, even in their dark, dark years when they won 17 games in like 2008. They still were on their feet cheering loud and proud for their Kings because they love that team. You don't get that in every city. There's some cities where if you're winning 15, 20 games, there you can hear a cricket in that arena. Sacramento's not one of them.
We first went there we played our opening season, I think first two seasons, in a converted office building. They basically took an office building and turned it into a mini stadium. Similar to what the Coyotes is playing mm-hmm. over in Tempe. But this was actually an office building. They gutted it and turned it into a stadium. It held, I think, 10,000. It was the loudest building I've ever played in. Mm. I loved it. I got traded before they built the new one. And I'm kind of glad I did because I was in love with that place because they were just right on top of you. And there's wood floors for the, you know, so when the fans stomp on the wood, it just got louder.
Yeah.
Man, I loved it, man. Yeah. And they were in there like how GCU is, like GCU's mm-hmm. fans out there and 2 hours before the game. Mm-hmm. That was Sacramento back in the day.
Wow.
I mean, just 2 hours out there and they're partying, they're having a good time. The fans were very open and communicative with us in the community. Man, I'm telling you, I had the best 2 years there. I hated that I got traded. It was the worst trade they ever made. Best trade the Suns ever made because they got me. But, yeah, seriously, I mean, I didn't want to leave. They just didn't want to pay me.
Yeah.
You know, Joe Axelson was the GM, and he's moved on and passed away, so I'll be careful in what I say because you don't want to, you know. I didn't like that dude.
Okay.
That dude didn't like me either. And so I wish I could have, you know, stayed in Sacramento, but it just wasn't the case.
Yeah. Well, hey, congrats to the Kings for sure. Also, somebody earlier in the chat did ask where I got this hat from, and if you don't know, you can go check it out at Dobson Ranch. Smash. They got a whole line of Smash gear.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Dobson Ranch Golf
Smash,
Club,
huh?
Man. Yeah.
So, like, smash somebody?
There you go. Smash that ball down the fairway like I always do. You know how it goes.
Yeah, you know, down the fairway. You're right. Smash it down the fairway, and then it veers way over there to the right.
Hey, I was saying, I got it. It's going in front of me somewhere. That's all that matters. All right. All right, so this last topic is a little bit, you know, we always like to throw a little curveball here. Bradley Beal Had some interesting things to say because he's been there's been some allegations of I guess assault, we'll say, because a fan said you fucked me out of $1,300 you F to Bradley Beal, because obviously he must have missed a bet of some sort, and Bradley Beal subsequently slapped his hat off his head and said this, keep it a buck, I don't give a F.
Oh, you're about, a rapper now.
About none of your bets or your parlays, bro. That ain't why I play the game. I love this response because, first of all, if you think a player in the league gives a damn about any of your bets, your fantasy league, or any of that stuff, you are out of your mind. And so I'm kind of glad that Bradley Beal responded this way. Now if he actually assaulted this guy, now all I've heard and read is that he just slapped his hat off his head, which, come on, man, that's not assault. Like, you just got your feelings, sir. He assaulted your feelings. But, you know, we'll see how it plays out.
You hardcore, man.
Oh, come on.
You straight gangster. No, you straight gangster. I mean, like, I'm sitting here every week and I leave like EJ, you the one grew up in Cabrini Green. You the one grew up in the West Side of Chicago. You were straight gangster. I mean, Saul, man, if you grew up in my neighborhood, man, I would have been scared of you.
Nah, stop.
They would have been saying, Saul coming. We start running like you the boogeyman.
We're
going to
end the show right now.
No, I'm sitting. Here's the deal with Bradley Beal. Be respectful. Because Bradley Beal, that big ass salary you making, mm-hmm. How do you think some of that money's coming to you? Through gambling.
No, yeah.
You got to be respectful. Like, you just pick up your phone now and you're on the app, okay? So it's like a drug. Like, people are betting on games.
Yeah, but there's an approach that you can take with an athlete as opposed to calling him, you know, the
F-word.
He
just lost $1,300, man.
Man, get over it. You shouldn't have made $1,300 in the first place.
Look, man, he got to pay his rent. He had a down payment on an engagement ring for his wife. Who knows what it was?
Damn.
He was in a bad way.
Susie ain't getting hers,
and
huh?
You know what I would have said to him? I said, man, betting on games is tough, man. Trust me, it's tough. I would never do it. And then just kept walking. Like,
that's almost worse.
No, I would say bet. Don't stop. I mean, stop.
I was just sit there and be like,
I used to go play poker all the time, and I was like, man, this dude sitting across from me, man, this dude actually knows what I have in my hand. I stopped going up there all the time. It was like a parade. Like it was like the band members was in the back. It was like when I walked in to play poker, they had a marching band behind me. Here he comes. No. Here comes Eddie. Oh, man. Like, you got to get to a point where you know you can't win. And you're not beating that app consistently. You're going to have bad losses. You're going to have bad beats. And, you know, I would tell people, I couldn't be a prognosticator in regards to NBA games. It's too many variables. In football, a little bit easier because, you know, they can lock them up, you know, curfew before a game. They play once a week. They're ramped up for the one game. Mm-hmm. NBA, you might have three games in six nights. So, you know, you don't know. I mean, it's no curfew during the course of a season. You know, so you don't know if that guy is like 100% boom, in tune when you want to throw down your money on a bet.
Yeah.
So you have to be careful and just know your betting skills, I guess, but don't get mad. Get upset. I get it, but don't get mad and approach the athlete. Like, you know, Bradley Beal has something to do with it, but Bradley's got to be a little nicer. I mean, he can't slap the guy's hat off his head, man. I mean, dude just lost $1,300. He gonna slap the man's hat. The man could have paid $50 for the hat.
You can't come out of pocket just cussing at people, man. If I didn't know you, Eddie, and you were coming off the court, and I was like, F you cost
I'd
me
laugh.
This much.
Nah, no, hold it. Man. Hold it. Serious business.
30-year-old Eddie would laugh.
Yes.
Like, look, I refuse to believe that.
I've
seen
people.
You on the golf course get pissed about things.
No, that's
I feel like that's the same thing.
No, that's control. And it's really to get into your head. It's controlled and to get into your head. I am never upset on the golf course. I am telling you that. I'd mess with you, but I am never upset.
This is such a lie right now.
No, it's not a lie. Talk to the
Eddie. Eddie, you were like shaking some shots and you got mad at yourself. You're like, Eddie, you.
No, never.
Come on, man.
Never. The only time I would curse is to bother you.
But you weren't even cussing at me.
No, I just bother you.
But no way
I get mad when I swing a golf club. I'll bring people on this show to prove and validate that.
Okay.
You're embellishing. Okay. But what I tell you this,
I'm going to tell you. All right.
Somebody curse me out, I laugh at them, man. I'm not going to be I don't know what that dude got in his pocket.
This is true.
I laugh at him. Like, whatever, man. Go about your business. As long as you don't invade my space and all of a sudden I think that you now are getting ready to harm me or hit me, then you're done.
Okay.
But you can curse, call me names. I played in Greece, man. Those people would sing songs, and I say those people, Greek fans, you know, if you watching this, because I know they go to YouTube and watch it, they know I love them, but they know what they put me through initially when I got there. Mm-hmm. Hit me with coins, split my eye. I'm at the free throw line. Doorknob was thrown at me.
A doorknob?
Doorknob. Live fish was thrown at me because our nickname was after fish. And you had to, and somebody told me, Eddie, just eat it up, ignore them, and it'll go away. After I got my eye split, they thought I was going to leave. And it was paying me too good. I wasn't leaving. I wasn't stupid. I had a 4-level house on the Mediterranean. I wasn't going nowhere. Okay. Believe that. Eddie, are you okay? You want to leave? You think I'm going to leave? Man, do you know I grew up in Chicago? I was worried about dudes walking around with guns. And I got hit with a little coin. Are you out your mind? No, they were crazy, singing songs about my family, cursing me out. The only time I reacted, okay, and I know we got to close, but the only time I reacted
is
I first got over there, and I was taking the ball out of bounds. And we were playing in a small gym. They have a ton of gyms over there and a lot of teams in the city of Athens, about 10 or 12 teams. And I felt water, like, on my back, my jersey. Like, what the heck is that? And I turned around, this dude was leaning over because it was one of the hated rivals that we had, was just spitting on me and hitting my back. Kid you not. Ooh. And I looked at the official, and the official looked at me like, and he handed me the ball. I grabbed the ball from him. True story. I grabbed the back of his head. And I smashed the ball right into his face, splattered his nose.
What? Oh my God. So then what happened?
Dude spitting on me?
Oh, yeah, I get that. But what happened after that?
I gave the ball back to the official.
Uh-huh.
He got a towel, wiped it off, and we played.
And
true story.
Dude just took it.
He took it.
Yeah, because he knew he was wrong.
I saw the dude 2 weeks later walking toward me on the street. Okay?
You ready?
Now, granted, it's no crime in Athens. It's like low percentile. Mm-hmm. So he's walking toward me, and he said, Eddie, I just love you. I love you, Eddie. that was the best thing. You just don't know, man. I just, you know, I'm sorry, but I love you.
What?
True story.
Wow. I love story time with EJ, man. These stories are like one in a million.
And I'm not a violent guy, but I wasn't going to accept spitting on me. No, that just wasn't going to, no.
I mean, you kind of sound a little bit like Rick James.
Yeah.
Oh, what kind of person would I be to
but you know what's
put
crazy?
My feet on somebody's couch?
You know what's crazy?
So, I put my feet on somebody's couch.
They were cursing me out one time at a game in Greece, and I turned to the guy and I gave him the finger. That's all I did.
Uh-huh.
Like, after I hit a bucket, we were killing, I gave him the finger.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know I had to go to court for that?
What?
I didn't have to go to court for smashing the ball in the guy's face.
No, but you can't publicly disrespect
but
some guy
I had to,
with sign language.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? I had to go to court. When I showed up at court, I walked up to the courthouse. It was about 50 cameras out there. I thought I was O.J. Simpson going into a courtroom.
Oh, my gosh.
All the teams in the league was trying to get me kicked out.
Wow.
Because I gave somebody the finger.
Wow.
So after that, I just, I just took it, man.
Wow. Well,
I just got hit with coins and just I just let it go. And I go over to the bench door timeout. Like, man, that hurt. Eddie, you gonna leave? How much I make? No, I'm not going anywhere. Don't worry about it.
Oh, man. Well, hey, that's a great end to this show. We appreciate you all for joining us. Tell them where they can find you every day, Eddie.
NBA Today Show of SiriusXM NBA Radio. 1 to 4 Phoenix time. 4 to 7 East Coast time.
There you go.
That's where we are, 3 hours a day. All NBA. All NBA, 5 days a week. You can find me on there. And I'm more crazier on that show than I am here.
I do love the fact that Eddie said that I had anger issues. And I literally, he smashed the ball.
The guy was spitting on me.
I'm just saying, like, hey.
Your point guard took a jump shot and you wanted to kill him.
He was trash, man. God.
His dad was up there telling him to shoot because you were hogging the ball.
I had 30. Anyway.
I had 37 one time, too. And then I'm not going to say the great player's name. He ran me off the post 4 straight times. And I was 37 years old doing that.
Oh,
I'm not going to tell you what it was, but you know what team I was on.
Oh, yeah. I know what team you were on. We appreciate you all for joining us so much. As always, Jacob, can I get my music? There we go. As always, you can find us every Thursday at 9:30 right here at PHNX. For my man Eddie Johnson, you can follow him at JumpShot8 on Twitter. You can follow me at Saul_Bookman. You can follow the channel at PHNX_Suns or Sports, whichever floats your boat. Until next time, we'll see you. Peace.